And good morning, everyone, and thank you again for joining the Interoperability Standards Work Group. My name is Mike Berry, I'm with ONC, and we are always glad that you could be with us today. And as a reminder, we always welcome your feedback, which can be typed in the chat feature throughout the meeting or can be made verbally during the public comment period that is scheduled about 11:55 Eastern Time this morning. Let's begin roll call of our work group members. So when I call your name, please indicate that you are here. And I'll start with our co-chairs, Stephen Lane.
Good morning.
Marian Malik. Kelly Aldrich. Hans Butendijk.
Good morning.
Thomas Cantalina is not able to join us today. Christina Caraballo. Grace Cordovano.
Here, good morning.
Stephen Eichner.
Good morning.
Adi Gunapalli or Sanjeev Tandon.
Yes, good morning.
Raj Gavarti. Jim Gerges. Ken Kawamoto. We have a new work group member, Dr. John Kilborn from the VA. John?
Good morning.
Leslie Leonard. Hung Lu.
Good morning.
David McCauley.
Good morning.
Glenn McDonald. Mark Savage.
Good morning.
Michelle Schreiber.
Good morning.
Abby Sears.
Good morning.
And Ram Charan.
Good morning.
Good morning to all, and thank you. And now please join me in welcoming Stephen, and hopefully Arian is with us now for their opening remarks.
I'm here. Morning.
Wonderful. Perfect timing. Well, thank you all. Mike said, we are glad you're all here to join us. There are a few members of the public who've joined us already, and some may be joining yet. And we really do encourage all of you to participate in the public chat and to take advantage of the public comment period at the end of our meeting, 5 minutes before the hour when we finish. I do want to especially welcome John Kilborn, who is joining us representing VA. I've had a chance to work with John on a number of task forces and committees. John, do you want to introduce yourself briefly to the group?
Sure. My name is John Kilborn. I'm a family practice doc by training, though I haven't practiced in quite some time. I work at the VA, primarily in the realm of terminology. Before I was at the VA, I was at the NLM, where I was I was in charge of RX Norm. And then before that, I worked with SNOMED. So terminology is sort of my area of focus, but at the VA, I'm representing, all sorts of informatics related issues at the VA. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Obviously, that's a background that plays heavily into the work that we're doing here. And a number of folks have joined since we did the roll call. Thank you for announcing yourselves in the chat. It's good to have everybody here. Let's go on. Oh, Arian, do you want to share any remarks?
No, just really excited to get into it. I think we've done a good pass on the lab recommendations. So I think we have a lot to talk about today. And then the work group members have done a fantastic job of filling out the spreadsheet with a large number of, ISA recommended items for the ISA to track. So I think we've got plenty of content to go through today and through to the end of our recommendations. So really appreciate all the work that's gone into that.
I'll also add that both Christina and Grace have offered some specific recommendations regarding kind of the structure and organization of the ISA, as we have done in the past with the USCDI. I think there are always opportunities to kind of tweak the formatting and the tools available through the website to make it more understandable, especially to lay members of the public who might want to get involved in this work. So I think we will be working with the ONC team to review those recommendations in particular, which are more structural than content oriented, and see what we can do with those. So what I'd like to do is go ahead and just go to the next slide if we can. Just a quick reminder of our charge. You'll recall we're on to phase two of this work, where we are identifying opportunities to update the ISA to address high TAC priority use cases of health IT, including the related standards and implementation specs. And I think it's important to realize that, we have not been handed a discrete list of high TAC priority use cases. Certainly many of us are on the high TAC and have been through this, have discussed use cases, both in the context of the annual report and in the original charter of the high TAC itself. I did reach out by email to the ONC team and suggest that perhaps it would be helpful if we had a discrete list of what we are considering the high TAC priority use cases, since it is called out here, or high TAC priority uses, I should say. They don't use the word use case. But I think most of us have an intuitive sense of that. But as we go through our work, I think it is worthwhile to be crystal clear about that. Because as we've said, updates to the ISA can be, in terms of its content, specifically, again, the notion of data elements, standards, specifications, but also its structure. So updating to the ISA can be structural updates as well. And that's my dog chiming in the background. We'll see if she can figure that out soon. So we are dealing with our phase two charge with the due date of mid-June to present to the high TAC a set of recommendations. So that's what we're up to. Next slide.
And yeah, just to remind everybody that we are in early May. So we're going to need to quickly get to recommendations draft by the end of this month to be able to prepare for the mid-June deliverable to the high TAC.
So my bad, I did not fully review the slide deck, and here the ONC team has given us the slide that I had asked them for, which is wonderful. So these are, again, from the original high TAC charter, and I think they may have been massaged a bit over the past 4 or 5 years, but these are identified as the priority uses of health IT. It looks like it came, let's see, how did they phrase this? All right, from the rule. So use of technologies that support public health, thank goodness, we're all supporting that. Interoperability, privacy and security, and patient access. So a pretty broad charge in terms of priority uses, and not a list of specific use cases per se. Mike, do you want to, or anybody from ONC, want to comment on this at all in terms of providing any guardrails or directionality to the work we're doing as we prepare our recommendations?
I think that's the ONC signal for you're on your own.
This is Mike. I just wanted to say that the Office of Technology team will weigh in, maybe to provide some guidance on some topics that we'd like the work group to focus on for your consideration. And we can talk about during the co-chair debrief later today.
Thank you. That's great. And Clem, sorry to hear about your voice, but we're looking forward to seeing your comments if you want to type them in as we go. All right, so let's dive into the lab recommendations. We did do some early work on this, there is the online document that you should all have access to. And I know, Aaron, you went through this with a fine-tooth comb yesterday, I believe. Did you want to maybe guide us through the comments that have largely come from Ricky, Hans, Hong, as well as with some input from others?
Sure. And so, yeah, what I tried to do was take the recommendation, or turn this into recommendations text. I don't believe this text is aligned with, I'm looking at the wrong thing here. Here we go. Perfect. Thank you. So what I try to do is take the text and turn it into recommendations. It's often easy to describe what you want the real world to look like in an ideal state, and harder to point out where ONC can drive specific action. So you know, just casting things in terms of we recommend that ONC do blah, sometimes helps sharpen the pen in terms of making more specific recommendations. So, you know, I think we had a good conversation last meeting, and, you know, we agree that lab results should be resulted with a LOINC code for the test, that if numeric should include the numeric result with a UCM code indicating the units of measure. If qualitative should include a SNOMED CT code, and then in all cases should be accompanied by the UDI for test kit and other relevant device data, if appropriate. So, you know, the question is, how do we go, what recommendations do we have that ONC go there? I think we made some good progress in our last round on the US CDI to sharpen up the US CDI recommendations to be more aligned with CLIA recommendations. But here we're explicitly, the way I've casted this is we're explicitly recommending that ONC coordinate with other HHS partners, SDOs and other stakeholders to find an interoperable information model and communication standard aligned to yada, yada, yada. And then, you know, sort of including the notion, thank you for removing the extraneous period there, including the notion that we should specify orders via LOINC codes and then specify results with the content model noted. And then, you know, also making recommendations relative to what a laboratory result should include, which again is, I think, aligned with what we said in USCDI, except for USCDI not being able to accommodate currently reference ranges or interpretation codes. Anyway, so that's paragraph one. I'll just pause there and see if there's any feedback from the work group.
And Clem, I know you're not voice enabled today, but you had some comments about this, and I know the language has been tweaked a bit along the way, I think, to try to accommodate that. But if you still have concerns about some of this phrasing, be sure to let us know.
Yeah, drop it in the chat if you can, to make sure we got this right. I think Dr. Kilborn would also be somebody who you know might have some good comment here. And there's a lot of folks on this call who go deep on results.
I have a question then, maybe. You mentioned sure. Interpretation codes, and in the text there, it mentioned SNOMED for whatever. My eyes aren't finding it, but for qualitative results, I wonder if you want to call out interpretation codes as an additional, you know, category of code, or are you thinking interpretation codes is a part of qualitative results?
Thank you. So, you know, this is the I forget the term of art, but this is the HHLL set of flags that often accompany results. I'm sure that somebody has sat down and standardized the content of those fields, but that, you know, there's a set of informal conventions that govern the interpretation flag that goes along with a result.
And is that also in SNOMED?
Well, it wouldn't be SNOMED because, you know, typically the code is the literal text H or HH or the literal text L or L.
Ah, oh, like high or low. That's what you mean by interpretation.
Correct.
I see. Not, you know, hypertension or something like that. Like
that's right.
Text phrase. Got it. Thank you.
Yep.
So should that be called out, that those interpretive fields? Is there a published standard for that, or just a convention?
I'm not aware of a published standard. I'm sure we've got all the folks on who would be aware if there were a published standard for use of test.
There is a published standard. Okay. It's an HL7. It's been around for 20 years.
Fantastic. Sorry about that. No, thank you. Thank you. So yeah, the test interpretation, or often called the abnormal flag, and we can, thank you, Clem. We can look up and point to the HL7 standard. This would be specified in the LRI guide, I would assume, and won't ask you to abuse your larynx more.
Thank you.
The Hans point that
I can get the links in the chat.
Thank you.
If you want to.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Aaron, might it be more beneficial if we just call the abnormal flag? That way we don't run into the confusion with the interpretation codes, because some laboratory tests do come with a pathological interpretation.
I'm using the term that was used in the US CDI level one. So we probably should call it test interpretation / abnormal flag. All right.
In the standard, it's called interpretation, because it went neutral as much as possible.
That's right.
And does it include high, low, or just normal, abnormal?
Yeah. Oh, no, it is a big list.
Okay.
I'll get the link in a moment.
Yeah, and it's usually a one-letter code. But anyway, okay, so that is recommendation number one. And you know, so recommendation number two is where the meat here starts to come in, which is that we recommend that ONC and other relevant HHS and other relevant HHS and other federal partners create policies sufficient to encourage, incent, require, or otherwise enable resulting organizations to support these consistent standards for orders and results when reporting this data via messaging documents, application programming interfaces, or other future transport mechanisms. So in our last go around at this in 2018, we made specific policy recommendations for what federal agencies or federal partners might get into the act. At the time, we contemplated that, you know, FDA clearly has regulatory authority over the IVDs, that CLIA has regulatory authority over clinical labs, and that ONC has the ability to create certification criteria, that ONC's mandate is fairly broad and can create certification criteria both for LISs as well as for EHRs and public health systems. And then we also contemplated that CMS, in its role as the largest payer, has a role to play in terms of informatics. We could go deep there, or we could just stop here and say that we recommend that ONC work with the relevant HHS and federal partners to create policies sufficient to yada yada. So I'm just going to pause there.
Any thoughts?
This is Clem. Bad voice. They are not. There's an awful lot of labs that don't send long codes and SNOMED codes.
Yep.
At least to their clients, and the big labs all do, but there may be a breakdown in whether the systems can accept them. So I think some push by CMS would be very helpful.
Yep. It's typically the hospital labs or the local regional labs. So the large, you know, I think you could look at this and say that the majority of labs are resulted with LOINC codes. And that's really an artifact of the fact that the largest labs, particularly Quest, LabCorp, the other large nationals, have put in the work. At the same time, I think some of the issues are that the smaller labs, because there's a one-time and ongoing cost of coding and mapping, haven't always put in the work to map their local codes to standards.
It might be worse. Steve says they're just burdened with mappings. That suggests a lot of people aren't sending the codes with their content.
Mm-hmm. Actually, no, the suggestion is really more that they are sending codes, but that that because of the way the systems function, there's still a need for sort of bespoke mapping to occur. Hung, your hand is up.
I would recommend just leaving it there in terms of not defining too much on the strategy of how you go about and who should be enforcing what. I think what you have there is sufficient, because I think that the issue is that we had meaningful use. And so what was actually the result of that? Did it improve interoperability? What we found in studies is that about 80% of the LOINT codes in the systems of laboratories that went through coding their system is correct. And so 20% is incorrect. So what is the impact of that if you try to use that for research? If your data is 20% inaccurate, that's not great. And so I think we really do need to be able to make sure that it works.
Hold on, Clem.
Hold on.
That we need to make sure that it works, and that labs that are trying to do the right thing are able to do it correctly before we start bringing the hammer down. Because otherwise, we're just going to end up with the same results over and over and over again.
I'd like to clarify the report that Hong made. That paper was done by looking at a 5% sample of a survey from labs that only looked at 10 tests. So I don't think it's that generalizable. We are looking at other sources, and it's much, much better than that, but it's not perfect. So Hong is right. Maybe on the order of 5% from the commercial labs, it's probably on the order of 0.5% error. So I mean, it's true, we gotta make them better, but it isn't true that right now it's horrible.
I want us to be clear that these recommendations are really more general. We are not providing specific content recommendations about the ISA itself. And I think that ONC is cautious about how and this fits inside of our charge. So I just want to be clear that we are carrying forward recommendations and modifying and addending recommendations that have been made by prior task forces here. And I think that this is valuable work, but we also need to be clear, or we would like to become clear, how ONC will be able to receive and utilize these.
Hey, Ike has his hand up.
Thank you. I think two points. One, I think we need to make sure, if we can, in our recommendations, given what Dr. Lane just shared, that there's good alignment between the ELR requirements and language about case reporting, so that we're getting consistent LOINT codes between what's an initial electronic case report and a laboratory report. One of the things that we as public health, Department of State Health Services in Texas in particular, has found is that we've got a long history of onboarding laboratories for public health reporting for ELR. And quite often we find that there's a mismapping by the local entity during our onboarding process, where they've not done a great job, at least initially, of making sure that their local codes map to the national standards. So I think if we can work it in language somewhere, that part of the recommendation is not just you use local codes or submit local codes, but that there's actually been some work done on the provider side or the vendor side to actually validate that their mapping is correct at the local level.
We do have recommendations later on specific to mapping. So maybe when we get down a little farther, we can pick that point up. Thanks, Ike. So the stuff that I marked here in yellow, I think is already addressed in the first recommendation. It's more detail, or appendix level detail about that set of recommendations. So if we can scroll down. Whoever's controlling the Google Docs. Yeah,
there we go.
Perfect.
Aaron, you did. Aaron, you had a comment here about potentially deleting that big yellow paragraph or moving it to an appendix. Did you want to comment on that?
Yeah, because the actual text here is detail that's summarized in the recommendations. So we could it could either be preamble or it could be appendix level material, or we could just delete it as understood. It's at one level down in detail from the set of recommendations in the first paragraph.
So Arian, I put a comment in about that. Then you ought to at least see.
I'm okay, sorry, well, Clem.
Clem's recommendation. Comment there. Yeah.
Yeah, I put in a chat.
Oh,
the current recommendations now say lab, SNOMED CT, and I think that's the predominant one, a good one, or LOIC. And I'll say why, because LOIC is a text string code and SNOMED is a concept code. And lab vendors have to put into their package insert sometimes the exact strings they want showing so that they're conflicted if they have to change it to a code that doesn't say the same string.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. So we can get that in. Cool. So if we go down how do we take Shield into effect? And again, this is consistent with the recommendations that we made in 2018. We recommend that ONC coordinating with other federal partners, with SDOs and industry partners, enable standards implementation guidance policy that encourages LOIC and SNOMED encoding as early in the process as possible. For orders, communication of an order should include the appropriate LOIC code where available. Any ASCII order questions similarly use LOIC codes where available for the question, SNOMED codes when available for the answers. So basically, we want to get the content normalized at the IV and at the order wherever possible. And then in the second set of recommendations, we really go down on IVD to LIS. So we recommend that ONC in coordination, yada, yada, create a sustainable mechanism to lead to IVD test devices and LIS is to automate mapping and translation sufficient to enable test resulting following the standards noted above. The IVD or the LIS should be able to enable the correct test the correct code to be included. We call for guidance on which LOIC and SNOMED codes are the most suitable. And that guidance should be available by the IVD test manufacturer. One could imagine that a way to get at this recommendation is to coordinate the device registration requirements by FDA with appropriate standards and certification from ONC. But again, we're trying to keep it non-specific in terms of the how. So I'm going to pause, and then the last one is about making sure that ONC and other federal partners and SDOs make sure that there's a well-managed appropriate resource process to develop and deliver additional LOIC codes when available, when needed for new tests or needed variations of existing tests. And so again, this is not a one and done situation. This is an ongoing a set of activities that need to be ongoing and repeated. Hans, you have your hand up.
Yeah, just a quick example of when you indicate is that we're not trying to exactly prescribe how. There clearly is the opportunity to make such mapping data guidance available electronically that LISs can take advantage of as part of the configuration process. Another one, not alternate, but just additional or earlier perhaps, is that the work that, for example, CDC has done for a specific set around COVID-related tests to make that available more easily. One can envision a variety of different ways, whether it's CDC, NLM, FDA, whomever is appropriate. And I think Ricky highlighted that as well. If that if those mappings are available in a registry, catalog of source, aggregated, it can already help anybody that that needs to do configuration at that point in time. So there's a variety of different ways in which it could be done.
Yep.
And not mutually exclusive.
And not mutually exclusive. That's exactly right. And you know, again, the point here is that through the variety of regulatory oversight mechanisms that that the U.S. federal government has, there is literally no part along the pathway that is not covered somehow through regulatory oversight guidance, et cetera. So through NLM, through CLIA, through CMS payment rules, through FDA registration requirements, and through ONC, and through CDC. We really do cover every single portion of the ecosystem. But no need for us to go into the mechanics for how. I think what we're doing is saying, hey, this is a problem that has burden on the US healthcare system. In terms of all of the manual mapping that's required, and also in terms of usability and quality of data, we saw that problem play out in the pandemic. It's a good opportunity for us to take a step back and, with the Shield Project, look at how we can make the next turn of the crank to fix this problem. Here's a set of recommendations that we're making relative to ISA advancement. Because you know, all of these standards are in the ISA, we're calling for these standards to be advanced in maturity. And we're calling for ONC to work on the policy levers that help these standards be advanced in the ISA. All right, if we go on to the next section.
So I have a question on that section.
Sure.
My hands up. So when it says formal support, does that mean funding support?
So
third line from the bottom.
Yeah. So we say we recommend that ONC in coordination, yada yada, assure there's a well-managed and appropriately resourced process.
Where it says this could take the form of more formal support.
That's right.
Does that really mean funding?
Well, that's what appropriately resourced is intended to mean.
Okay. Thank you.
And it's not funding. It's not just funding. It's people. It's, you know, it's talent. It's all the good stuff. All right. Now we get into, and again, this may be, we could tone this one down a little bit, but we recommend that ONC in coordination, and then just some standard language there, inclusive of guidance, education, certification criteria, and payment programmatics, that lead to EHRs, LISs, and radiology information systems that allow clients and users to map internally generated results and result codes to standard vocabularies in cases where coding is not done at the source. And this one, I just took the text that I think that Hans and Hung created, and Ricky created, and turned it into a recommendation, and may have gone a little too far in terms of toning this one up. the point here is that there is always going to be a need to map internally generated codes to standard vocabularies. And it would be useful for systems to be able to provide user-supported mechanisms to be able to do that. And so that feels like a good thing to call for. And then the question is, okay, but we're making recommendations to ONC. So what recommendation should we be making to ONC? So thoughts here?
John?
Yeah, this is a complicated
to provide a mechanism that allows users to map internally generated results. That's an easy phrase to say, but provide a mechanism. There isn't really a mechanism. So I'm wondering if we need to tone this down or alter it a little bit. We want ONC to help make this possible or make it easier to do, or but there isn't really like a sheet feeder. You can just feed in your paper with the codes you want, and then out comes the codes you map to. There's lots of processes and policies that might help, like certification and education, and those are the kind of things that can help somebody map. But at the end of the day, some person has to like look at a spreadsheet and say that this code here is the same as that code there, and I'm just trying to like bring this into reality.
I'm with you.
The experience of actually doing this.
I'm with you. This was one where, as I said, I went through and took some really well done statements about what we want the world to look like, and then turned them into statements about what ONC specifically should do. And this is one where, reading it back, I have a little bit of heartburn about it. Hans, you've got your hand up.
Yes, I was wondering along those lines, is that mechanisms might be very specific tools only, but maybe if that shifts a little bit more to tools and guidance, it's a mix of things. Going back to our prior conversation, it needs to not be mutually exclusive on how some of those things can be done. If we focus on tweaking it that direction a little bit, it's still encouraging on how do you get people in that practice and systems into that practice.
Yeah, so maybe the recommendation could be education and guidance.
Could I add to that?
Please, yeah.
So the real problem is that nobody knows what they've done. In Apple Health, you can click on it and you can see what codes they use. You can't do that in any of the major medical record systems. It's all buried in the mapping tables. Researchers tell me they can't. It's harder than hell to find them. So we should ask for transparency. So the big commercial labs publish their tables. So maybe if they'd publish them, people could see if they're right and check them or know if they're really doing it.
Yeah, where I'm struggling here is that I think everyone can look at that statement and completely agree with it. And the question is, how far do you go in terms of policy lever? For example, do you literally require through certification criteria and payment criteria that somebody publish their mapping tables? and that actually might be a reasonable policy outcome that CLIA could require, or that an EHR certification could require.
The commercial labs that are not obliged by HIPAA do that. And I don't think we'll get it right until we get more of it done. Some of the mappings are, in quotes, correct. It's test A to other test.
Yep.
Or test A to pathology report. But they don't tell you what you need to know.
Gotcha.
It's a specific number.
So lots of good stuff coming in the comments. Where it feels like, Hung, we'll come to you in one second. I'm just going to summarize where I'm seeing stuff in the comments. So it feels like the sense of the group is focus on education and guidance. Supportive of the notion of transparency, and so we might contemplate changing this recommendation to call for education and guidance and to encourage transparency of resulting mapping. Hung, you've got your hand up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I would agree with the transparency, but the part of that has to be that the mapping has to be easy to access. Right now, it is not easy for any lab to actually see which test has the codes and to be able to see the test. And so to require that somebody publish their mapping, if that is not easy to do, then that's just putting more additional onus on the laboratory, which are already stretched thin with decreased testing. And then to suddenly have to say, okay, no matter how hard it is to do this, you have to publish your mapping. I think that is not reasonable.
Yeah.
There has to be the transparency in the system to be able to see.
Let's not put it on the lab. Let's put it on the medical record system. They all have mappings mapping tables. Cerner does, Epic does, and it's just publishing is trivial. It's just a matter of exposing it, transparency.
Well, and again, just from a sort of from a recommendations perspective, it's nice to, I think everyone would be in support of a good and smooth user experience, but where do we create recommendations that lead to that result? And, you know, are we literally calling for certification criteria that the system be easy to use? I think we've gone that direction a couple of times in the past and realized that that's a little harder than anybody contemplates. So I think, payment programmatics are the nuclear bomb in this area. So I think we'll take some work and retool. Maybe we just go to the last one and Stephen, and then go to the ICE table. And you know, Hans, I agree with you that, you know, if we do anything, it's really about reducing the amount of manual mapping because we get it right at the source. Which is where this one goes. We recommend that ONC in conjunction with other federal partners, yada yada, create and implement mechanisms to support and ensure proper and consistent LOINC, SNOMED, CT, and UDI encoding. We can fix that one across result sources by resulting agencies such as mapping knowledge base, searchable by IVD manufacturer, harmonized test lab test method. I.e. the IDR, auditing and certification by CLIA for laboratories. So basically, it would be pretty cool if there were a searchable database that helped people drive consistent coding. And the U.S. federal government has a role. This would be an area, you know, I think based on what we've heard from the SHIELD project, this might be as simple as funding the maintenance of the IDR, but we don't want to be so specific. So thoughts here, and then we'll go on to the rest of the ISIS section.
Just to Hans's comment, I think the term resulting agency is fairly well established, unless others feel differently.
Could I elaborate on that? Because all labs don't go through the FDA. Right. There's about half of them are so-called laboratory developed tests. So the lipid process that Hans may be thinking about won't solve all tests. We gotta get whoever's making them to do it upstream, but it won't always be FDA approved.
Yep. I think we previously have a term for the organizations that are resulting, we can reuse that language. I think agency is a little ambiguous as to whether we're talking about FDA or we're talking about the clinical lab.
Correct. Yeah, it's the public health agencies that might be public health labs, but then we have all the other results, reporting labs and radiology imaging centers, etc.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you, Arian, for walking us through those edits on that very first recommendation left over from the ISP Task Force 2018. There are, I think, five more here that a number of folks have made comments on. We will, as time allows, try to come back and turn each of these into specific recommendations. But we did want to spend some of today focused back on our spreadsheets. So we want to thank everybody for doing the ranking. You'll note, if we can pop over to the ranking spreadsheet, that we have the initial tab where we had the 12 items that we originally ranked, which captured our sort of green and yellow in the table, and then we added the additional topics that folks have put in, and quite a number of us have gone ahead and put in some rankings. So we're starting to get a sense there. Again, this is not to say that any of these are not worthy of our recommendations, but more to try to see where people think the highest priority is, so that we can dive in there. And again, the goal is to try to come up with discrete recommendations. So I think we don't need to belabor the ranking table at this point, but maybe pop over to the spreadsheet itself where we have captured your observations and recommendations. And I think that probably, Arian, unless you had another thought in mind, starting with those that that have ranked high and seeing if we are comfortable with the recommendations, we'd like to sort of finalize some of these and ideally move on to others.
One more thing just before we close out the orders and results piece. The process of turning the text into recommendations was relatively easy for the section that we just went through. I struggled with the remaining sections. So I might ask Hans and Ricky and Hung to think about for the remainder of the sections how we might turn them into recommendations of the form we recommend that OMC do blah. So if I can just have a call out to the team to and to Clem as well, if we call out to the team to think about, we recommend that ONC do X. What is the X, the more specific X that we're recommending to get to the desired state of the world? Thank you.
Great. Okay, so in this spreadsheet, again, just thinking that we will start with the greens and then get on to others simply because those were the ones that the work group said were higher priority. What I would do, ONC, is just sort of scroll to the right a little bit so that we can see simultaneously the observations and recommendations. And Mark, since your name is on this one relating to SCOH standards and the recommendations from Gravity, which we all recently heard, you want to walk us through this?
Sure. So on the observation, that's fairly straightforward, but I did add something more recently about, and it goes back to your comment earlier, Stephen, about use priority uses slash use cases. Do you want me to go into that, or do you think you've already covered that earlier in this call?
Well, I think we are looking to ONC to provide us with some recommendations and guardrails in that area, okay. but why don't, you know, go where you need to go.
Well, let me just add a high-level comment that may help you too in your co-chair debrief, which is social determinant. We talk about the ISA structure, but there's a section called specialty care and settings that doesn't appear in the general menu unless you go on the banner and then you highlight and so forth and so on. And social determinants of health are listed under that. And I'd say I don't think of social determinants of health as a specialty care or setting. It's the 80 to 90% of health status. And that's where this idea that's in my observations about use cases came from, that it really, people are looking for that, I think, and it helps to have a place where you connect things from across the different parts of ISA, like vocabulary, services in exchange, et cetera, et cetera. So some comments there specifically around social determinants of health, but my thought as well is that it applies more broadly than that. With that, I'll jump to the recommendations section. The Gravity Project slides provided some detailed recommendations, high level, but detailed. I did not repeat them here, didn't think that was necessary to fill the text box unless that's what you'd like for me to do, and instead just said review and consider them. I think they all made good sense to incorporate.
Yeah, I think what we do want here is to move this to text that begins with recommend that ONC. Okay. So I think bringing over and streamlining the recommendations from Gravity so that we can consider whether we want to make them our own and then give them a chance for HITACH to embrace them and send them on to the ONC, I think is what we do want to do in this recommendations column. We've got a couple of hands up, Hans.
Yes, I have a question for Mark, for both rows effectively. Can we point to a specific implementation guide or other documents that's already published for each one of those and get as specific as that?
For what the Gravity project recommended, yes. So okay. The data elements are in USCDIV 2. The STU-1 of the implementation guide is published. STU-2 is in ballot. So there are links for everything and for the value sets, which we're the stewards for those in VSAC.
So USCDI, the reason why I'm asking is that if the ISA already includes USCDI version 2, it has that data in it. And clearly we can already look ahead and say USCDI version 3, when it comes out, please just put it in.
But that's part of our recommendation. ISA does not automatically incorporate USCDIV 2. There's work that needs to be done there.
That raises an interesting question. I think that we could consider generalizing some of this. Can we ask ONC to work with the standards organizations that create these guides that we already know about that are creating new versions, that upon publication, and for the USCDI, it is ONC itself, that they already proactively provide that information to indicate this is the latest available. And we are at times creating recommendations to include a new version that actually could have already been put on, quote unquote, automatically. There's no need, it's not something new, it's just a progression that's going on, HS7, NCPDP, et cetera. They're creating these new versions. Can they not just go automatically in there and make the process easier?
Like mine, Hans, somebody kindly put into the other spreadsheet incorporating USCDI into ISA and I think it got a lot of number ones as a priority.
Thank you.
Clem, your hand is up, plus you just offered us a long comment in the chat. Clem, you're on mute. Clem, you are still on mute. Okay, well, we can read Clem's comment here, which seems to be primarily related to the lab work here.
I just want to
say, I'll take it on myself too.
There we go.
I have supported Mark's position on changing and generalizing the name. But I also wanted to ask him about use specifically in the SDOH rules. It says to use LOINC answer codes. And I think that was also related to the string versus concept difference. Are you conscious of that? Or?
What I do know is that what we have published and what's integrated into USCDIV 2. So if it's been integrated in the way that you're describing, fine. If it's not, it's still what was adopted by ONC. Does that answer your question?
Well, it's not a question. It's just I'm trying to emphasize that survey instrument people are very fussy about the words in their answer lists. I'm not fussy, I mean particular. And if you can't change them and then know that the thing has been validated. And so the issue between LOINC and Snowman answer code, they're quite different. They're complementary. LOINC code takes a literal string in the answer list and gives it a code. Snowman gives it a concept entity, which is very useful because you can search across things. But it doesn't satisfy the particular focus of survey instrument developers.
So I think my answer, Clem, is that I don't know the answer to your question or to your suggestion about how to say this is the way it works and what is in the current data elements in USCDIV 2.
Okay.
Others may, but I don't.
Okay.
So Mark, we'll ask you to go back and turn this into a set of discrete recommendations based on what we heard from Gravity. And for item number seven, this has to do specifically with the race and ethnicity vocabulary set.
Correct. And I think you have the same desire to turn it into a language that begins with recommend, and I will do that.
Exactly. Perfect. Clem, your hand is still up. Did you have more to say on that?
No.
No problem. If we scroll down, the next one that we got is green, which I went ahead and added a little bit of meat to, was item number 11, having to do with the ECR standards. And I put in an observation that standards for ECR are identified in the ISA, but are currently out of date and require some revisions to reflect the latest technologies. And while CMS promoting interoperability requires the clinician send ECR, they do not specify a particular technical standard. So there is a standard out, which is widely deployed, and it would be reasonable for that to be a requirement so as to avoid the current situation where vendors are developing custom solutions, leaving public health jurisdictions to have multiple different types of data flowing into them. So it doesn't surprise me that you have your hand up.
Thank you so much for that. And I most certainly agree with your comments and observations and entered a note to that effect a little bit further down. From a public health end, most of public health is orienting towards the ECR now standards and information flowing through APHL. So that's really, I think the disconnect might actually be more on the provider side. Right now, at the end, if they're implementing something different, they may have some challenges in connecting to public health.
And I believe that we, ONC, can verify that we are going to have the APHL CDC team come and speak to us for a bit next week so that we can hear their specific recommendations for updating the data in the ISA and potentially making a requirement. So again, under the recommendations here, I suggested that we review those recommendations, which were going to be today, and now I think they're next week, and then turn those into more discrete recommendations. And then here, this is the first one where we included a policy level, the idea that we could look to health IT certification requirements and or CMS promoting interoperability requirements as ways to move towards a common standard for.
And Dr. Lane, this is Steve, just as follow up to that particular point, as is publicly known, the IPPS proposed draft rule or proposed final rule is out for comment. I believe comments are due from the public on June 17th, if I remember my dates correctly, with a statement in the proposed rule that says basically they expect the final rule to be published sometime in early fall for effectiveness with the start of the new federal fiscal year. So from a timeline perspective, if there were a way that we could accelerate this particular piece, there's an opportunity potentially to get any feedback in this particular area included in the current cycle of rulemaking without requiring special rulemaking authority, potentially, or waiting another year for it to come to effect to IPPS. So if there's a way we can accelerate this feedback to the high tech as an exception to our regular process or the regular calendar, that might be helpful.
Hans, your hand is up.
Yes, I have two questions. One is that as it relates to the EICR standard that is used and that's referenced in the ISA, do we want to be more specific and actually point to the latest version that's available as opposed to the one that's already in there? And the second part is that there is the distinction between to make it required to support that particular standard is a certification program topic. How do we want to organize our recommendations that are specific to the ISA versus those ones that we recommend sooner rather than later go into a certification program.
So again, I think we are going to hear from the APHL team about the updated EICR standard. I would hope that we could consider that as a formal and specific recommendation. All right, and the chat is still going on regarding lab data, so that's great. We do encourage folks to provide specific recommendations in that Google document for our consideration at a future meeting. All right, so we won't belabor the ECR item for now, knowing that we have, or believing that we have a discussion on that coming up. The next one of these, which ranked as high, Steve, I think also relates to ECR. This is a comment that you put in on row 29. It doesn't have an item number, but I think, did you already cover this? Yes, I think this is what we just discussed.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, it's what we just discussed.
Very good. All right. So that was it on the green items. The other one the green items where we had commentary introduced. They're in the spreadsheet. We also have high priorities on item number 8 and 9, which has to do with all the lab recommendations that we were just discussing. So those will be the recommendations that come out of that. And then that was it on the prioritized items from before. We had a yellow prioritization medium up on row 2, item number 1, having to do with care plans and chronic diagnosis or chronic disease management. Mark, I know that you've given this a lot of thought and have done some work on this with the in the FHIR space with the FAST community. Do you want to make a comment about this, or are you planning to provide specific recommendations here?
That's the plan, Stephen. Abby has agreed to help us, Grace and me as well. And so we will work in trying to get together this week to come up with some specific recommendations. For background, the work that I did with the FHIR at Scale Task Force, I was on the Ecosystem Use Case Tiger team, and we worked on a framework for exchanging, notifying members of the care team about updates to the shared care plan. It was not work on the content of a shared care plan itself. It was a model for a dynamic longitudinal care plan, so not plan of care, but actually care plan, combining episodic care plans, the kind of thing that the patient experiences 24/7, but maybe not the specialist. So important work, but it's on the exchange. It used a subscription model so that everybody could get updates in real time according to whatever their preferences might be. And if that would be useful here as well, I'm happy to plug that in as well.
Great. Arian?
Yeah, so just as a call out to the work group, in the recommendations column, it's going to be really easy for us to consider recommendations that are of the form, we recommend that ONC update the ISA to do blah, and where blah is track this specific use case, or track this specific standard, or track the HL7 accelerator, FHIR accelerator, and keep the standards attached to this use case consistent with that accelerator. If we have recommendations in that form, it's going to be really easy for us to turn those into recommendations text in the final recommendations letter. So just to pick on Mark for a little bit, when we look at the Gravity Project recommendations, if we can turn those into the form, and I know that Mark's already done a bunch of stuff in terms of the use cases, but if we can turn this into a recommendation of the form, we recommend that ONC update the ISA to track the priority use case Achieving Health Equity by Design, and list the standards and certification criteria tracked to the Gravity Project Accelerator, inclusive of, you know, X1, X2, X3. That's going to be a really clean recommendation for us to include in a recommendations draft. And so independent of the priority matrix that we're putting together, if you've got a specific item that where you can turn that into recommendation text that follows that format, it's going to be much easier for us to turn that into recommendations that go into the final transmittal. To the extent that you have a heart that you can describe the outcome of the world, but have a harder time tracking the ISA changes that are required or any other ONC changes that are required, it's going to take more conversation and discussion. So, a word to the wise that if you can find solo a way of turning the recommendations column into text that matches that pattern, it's going to be much easier for us to turn that into transmittal text.
All right, Mark, your hand is up.
Can I ask a quick follow-up question? Any guidance about what level of detail to include following that structure that you described?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the format of the ISA, it is follow the form of the ISA unless you're making structural changes to what the ISA should be changed to. I think we may make some recommendations in terms of overall mechanisms in the ISA. But if you look at the rows of the ISA tables, they are usually of the form tracking standard or implementation guide X, parameterized by use case Y.
Okay, I'll figure it out and work to keep to make less is more.
Yep, totally.
Can we hand the mic to David McCallie, who's putting some thoughtful comments in the chat?
Hi, thanks, Stephen. I was on the suggestion from Arian, just at the last suggestion, I think it makes a lot of sense, but maybe a template or, sort of an example that would be done in a way that you would consider as ready for submission to HITECH would be useful to us. Just take one of them and work it through so we can cut and paste.
Sure.
I agree that most of the ones I submitted would quickly fall into that pattern. They don't need discussion. They just need to get into the ISA.
So we do have, thank you for that, David. And perhaps with that introduction, since we don't have other kind of prioritized items that we are pushed to address next, why don't we go to your suggestions? If, as you say, they're pretty straightforward. I think you did include both some observations and recommendations. This would get us started on item number lucky 13. On row 14, you have a whole series of these having to do with supporting the various HL7 fire accelerators. Do you want to walk us through those observations and recommendations?
Yeah.
Row 14 for the whoever's doing the display here.
So all I did was to look at the HL7 fire accelerator program listing, the ones that are active and underway, and then search the ISA to see if there was any mention or reference to those programs. And you see here Vulcan, Helios, and Codex. And at least to the degree that I was able to master the ISA search tool, I didn't find any specific reference to this implementation guide work that aligns well with the priorities. So a basic thought is at least ISA should track these by listing them under the appropriate categories and priority use cases. So not a terribly sophisticated thought, but just doing the searching and matching.
Anyone feel positive or negative about David's comment recommendation here?
So I think it might be useful for if the whoever's controlling the presentation can go to the worked example that I pointed out here. Just, you know, if we look at the Helios project, this would go under, I think the Helios project might well be, might well go under an existing use case relative to public health. But, you know, here, the example that I pointed to, if people can navigate on their own to the text in the chat, under the prioritized use case, referral to a specialist, request status update, comma, request, comma, status updates, comma, outcome. And then you can see that we list in the ISA the specific either implementation specification, standard, vocabulary standard, emerging implementation specification. And so, you know, here we list the consolidated CDA and we list the 360X project. If we take that and apply it to the Vulcan project, this is about supporting clinical research. So the use case here would be something on the order of supporting clinical research. Let me see quickly if there's already a clinical research. There is a research tab. So if you go down to the research tab, there are no existing use cases associated with collecting research data for, you know, a real world clinical trial. So we might want to create a new prioritized use case under the overall research category, and then list the Vulcan implementation guide as an emerging specification under the ISA. That would be, you know, an example of the way to take we should track the Vulcan into more specific guidance for the ISA. Does that make sense?
Do you want us to do that, or is that an ONC ISA expert's job? I mean, I'm just unclear how far we go in trying to design ISA.
I think to the extent that we can make ONC's job easy, if it's really obvious, then we should contemplate making ONC's job easy. So, you know, a recommendation on the order of we recommend that the ISA track the use case collecting data for research, collecting data for translational and clinical research inside EHRs, and then we recommend that ONC include the appropriate implementation guides and standards tracked by the Vulcan project. Might be the right level of detail. I agree with you. We don't necessarily need to go, you know, item by item, but I think we need to give ONC enough hints to be able to figure out how to track and prioritize. Otherwise, we're throwing the work over the wall to a thinly stretched ONC team.
Okay, I can do that for the ones that I've suggested here. I'm, you know, my attitude about the ISA is it's not a value judgment. Being in the ISA doesn't mean that it's a standard that is going to get implemented or should be implemented or even is a very well done standard, but at least it should be available for people who are trying to find what's going on in the space.
That's exactly right. And so to the extent that something exists, it should be cataloged. And then in the areas that we prioritized high, as we have, we can contemplate going above and beyond and thinking about how we actually drive ISA standards advancement. But to the extent that we can make a clean recommendation that the ISA should track X, I think we're doing at least that cataloging job a service.
Okay.
Andrew Hayden made a comment that there are two research sections in the ISA. Do you want to
I'm having a hard time tracking that.
The ISA is complicated to explore. It's not a simple two-dimensional model.
Yeah, and there's not a lot of cross-referencing, which I think is what some of the comments on the structure have gotten to. Thanks, Andrew.
Right.
So David, again, if you can take a stab at fleshing out those recommendations for items 13 through 15, let me see, does the same apply? Your item 16 has to do with Karen.
Yeah.
Similar, I mean, or different?
It is essentially the same. I think the Karen work on supporting a trust framework for identity proofing is actually an HL7 accelerator. I think that it may be very similar to these here. But again, I couldn't find any mention of it using the search function, even though I believe some HHS entities are involved in that work. It's just not listed as best I could tell. So same problem. It ought to be listed. I happen to also think it's really valuable work. It clearly falls under the priority use case of consumer empowerment. The idea that you could pick your own identity validator and have that be trusted by whichever organization you request your data from, be it a provider or a payer or some other kind of aggregator. That seems highly valuable.
I think we should make our recommendation to have references in ISA to all of the HL7 accelerator programs as an overarching recommendation. And then potentially work with the leads in HL7 who can help fill out just the categories within ISA to make it more robust. We could take a first pass based on what we know. To Arian's point, let's make it easier for ONC, but these in general, we've already identified the accelerator programs as high priority and they should all be included in ISA.
That is a great point. So we can make a generalized requirement that we recommend that ONC work with HL7 and other STOs to automatically track in the ISA prioritized accelerators. And that, you know, that might also go for, so there's a whole bunch of HL7 accelerators that also might go into some of the work that ONC is engaged on with FAST. That also might go into prioritized use cases in NCPDP or IHE or any of the other STOs where there's coordinated prioritization work. That work should automatically be tracked in the ISO.
Yeah, I like that idea, although maybe a more even more generic thing is for the ISO to have a submission process analogous to the what do you call it, OnDeck or whatever it is for the USCDI, where vested entities can push their ideas for consideration. Yeah. I would put the burden on HL7 to say, if you think your work should be mentioned in the ISA, there should be a submission process to describe it and categorize it so that ONC can evaluate it and add it if they agree.
No doubt. There's a set of recommendations that we can make about the workings of the ISA itself.
Right.
And again, to the extent that we can do the thought now of how to turn that into recommendations text, I think those are going to be easier for us to contemplate and turn into formalized recommendations. So I've heard, for example, that we have a need for cross-cutting outcomes-based labels that allow you to index into content plus transport plus vocabulary. I think we've already made the recommendation about automating some of the cross-mapping in areas where there's already work in accelerators. So to the extent that we can just take some of those higher order recommendations and turn them into recommendations that we can contemplate throw into a recommendations letter, that would be fantastic.
Steve Eichner, your hand is up.
Yes, thank you. I believe there actually already is a process for submitting materials for the ISA that is actually available year round, and the ISA online version is maintained on a much more regular basis with an annual published copy coming out sometime in the spring. To build on the idea of commonalities across the ISA and looking at linkages between entries, another key component, as we're seeing with things like ECR Now and ECR and Medmorph and other tools, is that there are common backend apps that are supporting these interface standards. So it would seem to be another dimension that we might want to consider as a recommendation is a way of identifying what are the mechanisms in that sense, whether there's an app, a backend app that's being used and where it's being used across different ISA standards. So that would help me as a public health say, yeah, provider can use the same backend app with some modifications to do A, B, C, and D. And the provider could also then look at the ISA and say, oh yeah, you're right, we can, and that would be easier across the board and help resolve some of the linguistic differences about whether ECR is calling something ECR now and MedMorph is calling it the backend app and Stainer is calling it something different. So it's a way of harmonizing language between without actually harmonizing or using the same or mandating the use of the exact same term within each of those verticals. Thank you.
Hans?
Yes, I on the comment of submitting to ISA from the SDOs, I really want to support that that SDOs, that there is a process that's clearly defined between ONC and the SDOs that they can more easily submit because we know the source, we know where it's coming from, and therefore it should have a fast track to get them in, and that it is triggered by their publications or key work efforts in flight. Because today we do see is that the ISA is not up to date, even though it can be updated more frequently, it is not as up to date with what's actually available from the different organizations. That will be tremendously helpful for everybody to understand what's out there. So I fully support a recommendation on the mechanics to improve on that flow. And it has been debated in HL7 as well to consider that. I think if between ONC and the SDOs, there's some discussion around that, that would be fairly easy to achieve.
I am trying to capture some of these comments in the recommendations column F in the spreadsheet with the anticipation that those of you who have been making these comments will go back and flesh those out and make them more actionable.
Hey, Stephen, while you're doing that fantastic work, one other that I heard, and I forget from whom, my brain's gone. It'll come back to me. So I'm just trying to track these larger, higher order bit recommendations that we've, now I've got it. We should track the specific, rather than is federally required, we should track the specific program because we're going to have multiple programs. We should track the specific program under which a standard or implementation guidance is required.
All right, we are coming up on public comment, and I don't see any other hands raised. There have been a number of comments in the chat. Andrew Hayden, do you want to put voice to any of the great material that you've been providing us? You're a quiet man today. All right. And Han, Clem, and Hung have continued the dialogue with regard to labs, which we hope to see instantiated into some more specific recommendations text in that document. So with that, perhaps we can shift to public comment.
Or Stephen, maybe just a quick note.
Oh, there you are. There's your hand. Sorry, Hans.
That's okay. Do you want me to create a new row in the table on the process topic of how SDOs and ONC can improve submissions and staying up to date?
Yeah, I think that would be wonderful. Again, I was taking notes in David's item, but yeah, that certainly warrants a row. All right.
All right. Thanks, Stephen. We're going to now open up our call for any public comments. So if you're on Zoom and would like to make a comment, please use the hand raise function, which is located on the Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you happen to be on the phone only, press star 9 to raise your hand. And once called upon, press star 6 to mute and unmute your line. So let's pause for a moment to see if we have any public comments. All right, I'm not seeing anything, so I will turn it over to our co-chairs.
Great. Well, so David, I think you talked us through most of your items. You did include one more, which you had discussed briefly the other day about this non-health IT provenance standard. And you've called that out, you've made some observations and suggested the recommendation that ONC should add this emerging standard to the relevant section of the ISA that deal with provenance. Anybody have any questions about that, or do you want to add to that?
Yeah, let me just explain it in case it's unclear. A number of the major content vendors, Adobe, Microsoft, others, are collaborating on a new provenance standard initially targeted at ensuring that news sources can be verified to be trustworthily mapped back to the news organization that produced it. Can you trust that this hasn't been tampered with? And my thought was the ONC, even though in healthcare we have a specific set of healthcare specific provenance tracking tools, those are not widely deployed in browsers and PDF readers and things like that. Whereas this work from the C2PA group is likely to become standard fare on everybody's smartphone and desktop. So the thought would be maybe healthcare organizations should look to these commercial standards at some point in the future to digitally authenticate their work so that a standard PDF reader, for example, could verify that it hasn't been tampered with since it left the Mayo Clinic or Partners Health or whatever. So that's the thought, is it should be tracked, and if it becomes commonly accepted in the commercial domain, healthcare organizations should take advantage of it.
Hey, David, could you send that to Hans? HL7 should know about it. Because no way we're going to dominate the universal codes standards in healthcare.
Yeah. The link I think is in the spreadsheet, but Hans, if you want more, it's C2PA. I don't know how well it's going. I mean, I just know it's major organizations are behind it, and the spec seemed very thoughtful, as you might expect. Whether it gets adopted or not is maybe a little early to tell, but it should certainly be tracked. So
it might be important to get it to some of the fire activists too.
I'll bring it up with a couple of the security, the folks that manage consent and provenance and otherwise the security group, et cetera.
Super.
I'll put them a mail.
Great.
I will point out that at Grace's suggestion, we've added a new column D to the spreadsheet, which is entitled Background and Supporting References. I just actually grabbed the C2PA link and put it in that column on your item 17, David. I think that was a great suggestion that Grace had. And Grace, maybe you want to take a moment and explain what you were thinking there.
Sure, I would be happy to. Thanks, Stephen. As I was going through all of the different ISA topics that we're considering, I'm not an expert in all of the different fields and topics that were suggested. So I found myself trying to go back, Google, search, read. I couldn't tell if I was missing things. Some of the descriptions and the latest work seemed vague and broad. I couldn't tell if it was in startup mode or if there was more. I didn't know who a project lead would be or a point person would be. So I reached out to ask if people could put in any pertinent materials, references, or project updates, blog pieces, websites to work that would help point and bring people up to speed that may not be experts in all of the different topics. Because if you're not an expert, you can't really fairly weigh priorities. So that was sort of my thought process.
Great, great thoughts.
Absolutely. And David, I just threw on a couple of words on your item number 17 and put it into the recommend that ONC format. And I think that we may have our first approved recommendation. Does anybody have any concerns about that one, the C2PA? this is what we want to do, is we want to knock these out and turn the recommendations. I guess we were using purple last time, so maybe we'll do that again once they're finalized. All right, that brings us to the top of the hour. Thank you, everyone, as always, for your time and attention. Next week, as mentioned, we will be hearing actually two presentations, so it's going to be fast and furious. Hopefully, Grace et al. Will be presenting on the desirable functionality to support individual corrections to their health record data, and the CDC APHL team will be presenting on their ECR recommendations. So we will hear those and discuss them next week, and then come back to work on our spreadsheets the week after, which would be the 17th.
And just as a comment, we're going to be taking probably the 7th and the 14th focused on the final recommendations. So anything you can do in the spreadsheet the next couple of weeks is going to be much easier to incorporate into the final recommendations. So don't delay.
Very good. All right. Thank you all. And we will see you next week.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.